Corey, can you lead us, please? All right.
I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Thank you very much for that. With that, we'll move on to public comments. Do we get any public comments? None by email, fax, carrier pigeon, or any of those? All right, with that, move on to item number 5, our consent agenda, our January 22nd meeting minutes. If everybody got a chance to review those and or have any comments, if not, I'd definitely entertain a motion.
So moved.
I got a motion from Mr. Llewellyn.
I have a question.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Aparano, on item H, and I don't know if this is, I apologize for missing the meeting last month. But item H says on December 3rd, 2026, we had a meeting of 8 of the 12 independent special districts regarding special district seating on LAFCO. And IID is offering 100% fund to fund the special districts. I just like a little clarification in what is going on with that and what is
that,
in short,
and I'll have more on it later.
Okay.
But in short, the agreement is still being discussed amongst the districts. And I hope to discuss it all with you in depth in the future here today.
Would it be today? Okay.
Yeah.
So with that, I will second the motion to move forward.
So I do have a motion and a second. Roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Aparano?
Yes.
Commissioner Llewellyn?
Yes.
Commissioner Hawk?
Yes.
Commissioner Price?
Abstain due to absence.
Commissioner Salgado?
Motion does pass. So with that, we'll move on to our executive officer announcements.
Thank you, Chair. I do just have a few. Start off with the healthcare district, IVHD. As you recall from the last meeting for the folks that were here, that they're in the law, there is a requirement to do the MSR or SAP, as we call them, complete it by the end of this year, which doesn't really make sense in the fact that the election for the funding source is not until November. So I've been in contact with representatives from IVHD as well, with Senator Padilla's office, and they are working with us to put a budget trailer bill to extend the MSR portion till December of 27 to allow us to do a proper evaluation of the services and bring up.
What date is that?
The end of December 2027.
Get another year.
Yeah. Extend that part of the bill out for when
there won't be an election.
No, just our review of the service area plan. The
SAP.
Yeah. But with the election being in November, how do we, and results maybe not out till mid-December, how do we prepare a service area plan? It would be a waste of taxpayer money, in my opinion. So they were gracious enough to at the time we started the discussions, to put in a new law or what have you. It was too late, but we're going to get it on the budget. The goal is
to
get it
on the ballot 26.
No, I'm talking about the MSR portion. Extending that will be extended, but the ballot, IVHD is working on that. And a matter of fact, I think this next meeting, their consultants, Whipfly will be discussing that, what that's going to look like initially at this next meeting, I think tonight. So, secondly, on February 23rd, Cal LAFCO had a special business meeting for all the LAFCOs to attend. It was attended by our chair, Aparano, and Commissioner Salgado and myself. On there was on to be voted on was two important items, to eliminate director seat type categories for the board and to allow EOs to be eligible to serve as voting members of the board. After much discussion, that passed 40-2. So, and I don't know if the chair or the commissioner wished to expand on the meeting that was a good vote, in my opinion.
It was a good vote. And you know what? The ones that were opposed to me at the end of the day were afraid to give up control. But at the end of the day, we know we all have regular day jobs, and sometimes we're not going to be there. But guess who is going to be there? It's going to be Tyler. And so we had a long discussion after this that Tyler, our EO is not, or the EOs are not going to go out and do their own thing. They're going to have direction from their commission or the commissioners. And that's the way it's going to go. Whether he likes what we say or not, that's what the vote's going to be. And so these two, they're just not for it at all. But it still passed. But it was nice to hear the
discussion.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and based on that news, I mean, on that vote, Los Angeles LAFCO has took action and sent a letter to our association to rejoin Cal LAFCO starting July 1st. So with all the changes that have been made over this last year, we're seeing some positive effects. So that's good. So, and then also there was a webinar, LAFCO 101, a huge, massive turnout. I think one of the biggest ever. And I saw Commissioner Salgado in attendance, and I think it was a very good presentation and kind of at a high level for us rookies, just described what LAFCO's like and what goes on there. So that was pretty cool. Any comment there, Commissioner? Okay.
Appreciate those opportunities.
The staff workshop for Cal LAFCO is in May. I continue to co-chair that. I'm actually leading two sessions. The most controversial one on the regional restructuring. I thank our executive director for that one. And then also one at the end of the workshop for EO peer exchange, which is just an open forum type thing. So continue to work on that. Also, next month, we'll be presenting the budget to you, the proposed draft budget. And based on any feedback there, then we'll bring that back probably in May for final adoption and moving forward with that. I also met with Assemblymember Gonzalez and his staff this month to kind of a meet and greet to let him put us on his radar and to establish those relationships. To in case we need them for when there's LAFCO affected laws coming our way that we can have that connection. Form 700s, FYI, friendly reminder are due April 1st. And for those serving here, we need to have us on there as one of your commissions. So just a reminder for that. And staff and I, we continue to work on various projects and SAPs. Some examples, Westmoreland boundary cleanup. Lori's done a great job of working with the state board of gathering old documents, working with the county, and to clean up Westmoreland's map. And we met with Westmoreland and the county and the whole group and ourselves that will be one of our actions coming forward was to clean up that map and make sure the boundaries are correct. We also have the Lithium Valley specific plan that I'm reviewing. It does mention the potential of forming a district in there. So I've met with Mooney, Rick Mooney. Yeah. And talked about that a little bit. We're reviewing some of the smaller districts, their financial stability right now, and also the Salton Community District's probation is up in November, so we will have to bring that back to you all before then to talk about next steps, see where they are, and see what the commission would like to do moving forward. Yes.
So in Lithium Valley, you would form a.
There's in the plan. There is a what do you call it? A discussion or. In there about the potentially forming a special district out there to service. And of course, commission, that would be before the commission, before anything's finalized on that.
I do have one question. For the Salton Community District, does it look like they're going to face dissolution?
You don't hold me to it. I would say right now, no. It looks like they're getting their ducks in a row. I still am pending. We're missing some more recent audits, and they're working on it. They sent us a couple others. They're catching up. They were, they had a heavy lift over there, but they seemed to be heading down the right path. But of course, that's unofficial.
Yeah, we'll always wait and see.
Yeah. And I think that's all I have for my update.
End of the day, one would take it over. With it.
The county would, absorb it.
Any questions for Mr. Salcido? No? All right. Awesome. Moving on, we'll move to item 7A, the adoption of the extraterritorial extension of services policy.
Thank you, Chair. Today, I want to present a formal local policy for extraterritorial extensions of service. This would represent a significant shift for us, IC LAFCO, as we move from a broad reliance on state law to a specific local framework that better manages the growth of our jurisdictional boundaries. With that being said, though, in my staff report, I'm recommending immediate adoption, but I think I would like to verbally amend my recommendation today to bring back in April to, after baking it more and discussing, getting your guys' input and also the stakeholders, given that it's a significant shift that the policy represents, particularly the new annexation windows that are proposed in the draft and the recorded consent requirements. I just think it's best to let it bake some more. I'm going to pull it out a little bit early and then the sourdough soft in the middle. And I want to make sure, again, like I've said before, I don't need to be right. I just want to get it right. And I don't want to create any unintended consequences that I haven't thought about. So the hope is to go through the presentation, get feedback from you, continue to meet with some of the stakeholders and bring it back in May.
If I may add real quick, to clarify, when you say stakeholders, who are the stakeholders we're looking at here?
All the agencies and the property owners.
So this would of what?
Any property owners that are outside the any city boundaries, as an example, Marty Cohen's stuff over there in Imperial, as an example.
Okay. Yeah. So this is not just focusing on one city.
No, it's a uniform policy of approval of the extension of services that would guide instead of doing a willy-nilly and not having a policy to follow.
Gotcha. Okay.
But again, like I said, I don't want to rush it. I want to make sure that there's something I'm not missing. And I had sent this to all the cities and special districts that provide like water and sewer to garner their feedback. And I have spoken with your city manager and I told him that I'm going to change my recommendation because I think we need a discussion.
Just a quick question. So like you used Marty Coyne as an example on 4th Street, is that correct?
No, in Imperial. That's who developed that, right? On the west side? Yeah, okay.
Ironwood and all that? But whatever it is. But in other words, so you're holding them to a contract and time, like, or what? That's going to be part of it.
I think the best approach is to go through this, and then we can have, and maybe that'll clear up some questions you may have, and then if not, we can talk about it further, if that's okay.
Yeah, that's absolutely.
Okay. Am I controlling this? Let's see. Can you do it, Lori? It's not working for me.
Extraterrestrial?
Or what? Extraterritorial. Okay. So a little background and some of the current challenges. The commission is currently experiencing a spike in requests for service extensions. The problem we face with that, in my opinion, without local guidelines, these quote temporary extensions often become permanent. This would effectively allow development to bypass the annexation process. My goal is to establish clear rules that ensure that these services are served strictly as a precursor to and not a substitute for annexation per the CKH law. So, next slide, please. Not working for you either, huh? Oh, there we go. So what governs this is Government Code 56133, as a quick refresher on this code. Cities and districts must receive our written approval before providing services outside their boundaries. Inside a sphere of influence, these are authorized per law in anticipation of annexation. Outside the SOI, they are strictly limited to existing or impending threats of public health or safety. As an example of one that was recently approved by the commission was in the Heber, where they were having fire services, and that's in the actual county, and Heber is providing the water for fire to better provide for fire suppression, as an example. Next, please. So state law does provide some standard outs where our approval isn't required, such as contracts between two public agencies for alternative service. If somebody needed fire service and another agency provides that, that wouldn't need to come through us. As an example, transfer for non-potable water and ag water. As an example, the data center, if it was using wastewater for cooling, that wouldn't need LAFCO from a local agency other than the county. That wouldn't need our permission, as an example there. We also don't have jurisdiction over any services that were provided before January 1, 2001.
Sorry, I got a question on this. Yeah. Certain water transfers for non-potable or non-treated water.
Yep.
Okay. So right now the city of Imperial is allocated, I think, 7 cubic feet of water a day for coming in off the Dahlia, if I remember right. So that one is fed off the central main, which is also Brawley's fed off the central main. If I have a surplus of water, I can sell it to City of Brawley?
Not after it's treated.
No, this is non-potable.
Yeah, but you, when it comes into your system, you treat it.
Yeah, but if I'm not taking it, if my allocation is 7 feet and I only use five, can I sell that?
I would say, without looking at it deeper, I would say no, that's an IID issue about, I mean, it's just like Commissioner Hawk's a farmer. If he's not using the water, he can't sell it to his neighbor farmer down the street.
I'm just looking at this like that because, farmers never trade water. Wink.
Yeah.
But no, I that would also be a legal question, but I don't
you see where I'm going with this.
Yeah, but I don't think you can. No, and it's once an agency receives the water, it's considered their water, and they're treating it's a treated water. So,
but even if we don't receive it,
no, but I don't. It's not yours, in my opinion. Then you have an allocation, but you
don't allocation.
Yeah. So,
okay. It goes back to the water bank, right?
Sure.
Okay.
Next, please.
I don't know anything about that, John.
No, you
don't.
Okay. In this draft policy, one of the first major tools in the new policy is the annexation consent agreement. It would now require landowners to record this agreement with the county recorder as a standard condition of approval. Because it's recorded, it would bind current and future owners in perpetuity. This gives the commission standing consent, allowing us to direct annexation as soon as the territory becomes legally eligible and deemed appropriate. Next, please. And here's where I hope to have some good discussion at the end of my presentation. The second major tool is a 2-year window. Historically, extensions have lingered indefinitely because a property wasn't contiguous to a city boundary or a desire or a sense of urgency from the agency to annex once services are connected. This would close that loophole. A formal annexation application must now be initiated, as the policy sits now, within 2 years of our approval. If it's still not feasible at that mark at the end of 2 years, the agency must provide a status report detailing exactly why and when they would achieve annexation when they plan in the future there. To keep our process tight, we've also added a 1-year expiration on these approvals of the extension of service. If they don't get moving on this project within a year, the authorization dies. The agreement provides standing consent for the commission, as I said before, to mandate annexation if if they deem it appropriate. Next, please. Some of the current local exemptions and compliance standards, we've carved out specific local exemptions that can be handled administratively, such as a shared back office, support for IT or accounting, or if one agency has the staff to provide accounting service to another agency, something like that, that's that wouldn't require our approval. Or standard mutual aid, as in when other agencies respond on fire calls or law enforcement calls, and any temporary water hauling during a drought or declared emergency. To ensure that is a clear paper trail on this, we would be requiring agencies to give me a 60-day written notice of any extension they believe is exempt. This allows us to provide a formal determination before any work begins. Next, please. It's also important to note that any approval we grant would be limited in scope strictly to the specific project and land use described in that application. If there's a significant intensification, like a change in use or a major increase in capacity demand, that would be considered a new request and must come back to IC LAFCO for review. And the teeth in this policy would be failure to comply with these terms could result in a pause of any future service requests from that agency and may trigger a formal review of the service area plan and sphere of influence earlier than was anticipated. So that being said, I think we need to discuss this here, more time to bake and work out with the stakeholders. What got me thinking about this, a little background, is reading the law, and the intent of the law is to, if an agency can provide services to an area, then they should annex it. I feel like that there needs to be some parameters around that locally for us, so we apply it equally as much as possible to whoever comes through our commission. Why does it matter? If the city can provide services or getting the revenue, but to me, in certain cases, it could be considered a gift of taxpayer funds in the sense that I'm just, City A has all this development on its, just outside its boundary, and it's providing water and sewer, but where are those folks really going to for their stores, to get to the groceries, driving on the streets of the city, using those parks within the city limits? So is it fair that they're not paying any of the property tax portion to the city, but yet using all their services? So there's an argument there. And I think I would just like a commission policy that guides me in the sense that, because I do have you guys that adopted a policy earlier that less than 10 parcels, I can administratively approve them. And I don't want to be caught in a situation and say, well, you gave it to Imperial, why are you denying Hopeville? And there might be a valid reason that I found that, but with a policy, I can just hand them that. And if there's some form, whatever that form is, about future annexation, then that'll really make folks think about what they want to do with this policy. So that was the intent behind it. That being said, I don't want to, like I said before, I don't want to create any unintended consequences to a subdivision that's outside the city limits that may have had an agreement in the past with the county and the local agency about water or sewer services, and there's one, as an example, maybe one undeveloped property left in that subdivision, and that folk comes to me now and says, sorry, you can't get it. Oh, my neighbors have it already. What are you talking about? So those are the type of things I want to work through still. And again, the 2-year was just, I think there needs to be some defined amount of time for an agency to annex a property if they're providing the services. That's your EO's opinion. With that, I open it for discussion.
Anybody?
Well, with those comments said, you answered some of the questions that I had, that I like the idea of letting this bake a little bit, because I would actually like to go back and talk to our staff too. Yeah. That's what I'm concerned about, is the unintended consequences.
Yep. Yeah. And I want to talk to Mr. Minnick and David Dale too. Is any comments on the window of annexation? Something.
Oh, I got a lot of comments, but I'm gonna.
Okay.
Wait. No. Okay. So I see. I'm gonna use the development you're talking about right now, which is called Ironwood Acres. We all know that. Ironwood Acres does. We do provide water and sewer to them, and it's been like that for I don't know how many years. They paid for it to bring it in. They pay for it all. Their HOA does whatever. Now, in my early years when I was here on the...
Are they annexed in?
No, 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 they're county.
Wow.
So in my early years that I got here, I think we reviewed this in 2017, roughly 2018, that we were looking at an annexation of Ironwood Acres. And it's, if I remember, it's like five blocks that it is, right? It would cost us roughly about $10 million to annex that whole area, okay? That would mean they now become the city. We now have to provide streets, curb, gutter, lighting, parks, all that stuff that we'll never make back because of the property taxes will not pay those $10 million. We will always be in a deficit just for that. They're like, well, we pay water and sewer. Great, but that's only a fraction, and that goes into the enterprise fund. That does not pay for all this other stuff. So this would now make me annex that at a loss.
That
at a loss.
If the commission,
and so yeah. You don't get city water, you don't get city sewer, you would be exempt. But because that line runs down LaBruchery, you can tap into it. And the minute you tap into it, you're going to be annexed. And now you, the county, are going to lose the revenues that are already going there. So right now we still have a problem where we get calls for service, we respond because the sheriff is not around. So PD has to respond to it. Not a big problem because that goes into the mutual aid side of it. And that's fine. But when we start to annex these divisions like this, we got to look at what's going to happen to the cities that are doing that. Do they have the revenue? Are you ready to give up the funds and pay for that so we can annex something that now LAFCO says we have to? Okay. That's one side of it. And we all know where there's another one that's there, that the minute they get some kind of service from the city, you're going to lose it too. We have a lot of things like that. I'm looking at it from my city side. That's where I'm looking at it. But you heard me whisper to Mr. Llewellyn here, do you have any? It's like, well, yeah, he has Lyerly on the side. Lyerly can say, hey, I want city services. And now you annex that whole road. Can you take that hit?
No, not at all.
You lose the tax revenue.
So if this were in place 10 years ago, then they would have had to be annexed in.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's the intent of the law, so I was like, dang, I don't feel like I was following the intent of the law, because it makes, from a fiscal asset perspective, you can provide the services, city gets the money, okay, I'll just sign off on it.
Yeah.
Talking to all my EOs, and I got a stack, and there are tons of policies, and through common thing to all of them, there is a requirement of a recorded document of annexation. And not to pick on Imperial, but your specific example that you provide in your service area plan, there is a plan to annex it. So it's already
always been there. So it's been there, but it's just not.
Yeah,
financially feasible.
Believe me, I've been on the city side. Yeah. I understand the dollars part of it, but and that's why it's here for discussion, because whatever that policy is, it might just say that you, as another example, that an agreement says upon the time the city, legal terms, I don't know, but it wants annexation, you cannot oppose it.
something like that, maybe, but in legalese form.
But what I see this coming is, yes, we're going to take Ironwood Acres.
Okay.
But it's not going to stop there. Then we're going to take Neckel. Then we're going to take Belford. We're going to take Murphy. We're going to take Lee. We're going to take all those. And you as a resident now have to meet up to city codes, not county codes. So you're going to go retroactive to all that stuff. We're going to make you make sure you have this, that you have that, that whatever we have in place is going to have to go.
And city sewer? And
no, no, but it's about 100 feet from her. It's about 100 feet from her. So that's where the tap is. So I'm looking at that side of it. It's surrounding my city. And I think it surrounds all of our city, all the cities, not just Imperial, Hope, Calipat, Hopeville, El Centro has them. Everybody has these. And at the end of the day, we're all now going to have to take this burden. I'm going to say it's a burden because it's a big cost for us that we can't afford, especially in these trying times. It's a great policy that's in place because if there's something that I want, that's 76 acres, that I want, that I know that's going to generate me a lot of money, guess what? I'm going to annex it. And I'm going to take it from you. You don't have a say-so.
And if I may.
Yeah.
This is the kind of discussion I wanted to have.
And I want you guys to be fully aware. So the city of Calipat has been meeting with the geothermal companies because we were just talking about the specific plan. But we discussed increasing our collaboration, and we asked them essentially for money, and they were like, well, after everything we do for you, turns out supposedly the past 40 plus years they didn't realize they were in county, not the city, so they thought this whole time they were incorporated. So now they're coming to us asking what they can do to start receiving our services. So what that would mean is Lithium Valley is no longer an Imperial County project, it's Calipat and Calipat only. So, once again,
you would lose the revenue, and it would go all straight to Calipat.
And that sounds nice, but for the sake of unincorporated county, 37,000 people.
He could tell
that's the size a little bit under El Centro. You guys would just lose all your revenue outside the boundaries.
Can extend services, but the annex.
That's where the alarms went off. Like item you 7.
Be providing services.
Happening there.
But again, I don't have a dog in the fight. I just think.
I mean, there's a lot of dogs in the fight. I think all four of us have dogs in the fight.
Yeah.
Even Mr. Salgado has a dog in the fight because
how many people live in Imperial?
Well, no. and it has nothing to do with Imperial because he pays property taxes.
Right.
He pays property taxes for services. So now your services might dwindle down because I got to eat the cost of that $10 million. That was $10 million in 2017. Imagine what it is now.
To your point, though, Robert, you're still, the city's still providing some of those services, right? And so
we provide police services, right, for EMS, or police services through mutual aid.
Fire response.
That happens with every city.
Right, right. But you're not, PD's going out there if something happens. So there are some benefits.
There is some benefits.
But they're not equal to the potential revenue, of course. Right. But I think, my mind is just racing on all this stuff, and we've talked about it. And, I come from this kind of infrastructure background, and it just seems like we've put ourselves in this hole by kind of allowing this problem to percolate all this.
Agreed.
How do we remedy that is a bigger question. I agree that this is needed, and there needs to be some teeth put into it and kind of adjusting back to some smart growth kind of policies to ensure that these properties are annexed into the proper boundaries, and not just living in perpetuity right outside of your boundaries where they're receiving a benefit and not really having to really participate in the bigger process, if that makes sense. And so I think we'll have more comments as I
read more.
Yeah, I read more and understand it better. I'm not against it. I'm totally for it. I think there's a little more that could go into it. I think, your PowerPoint highlights some of that could go into the policy to give it a little bit more teeth. But it's a push and pull. And where do you find the fine line?
For sure.
Just it's.
Yeah. And so as just from a, if I may interrupt, sorry. Yeah. from a practitioner standpoint, if somebody came to me and says, hey, agencies providing services outside their boundaries, they need to, the law says right here, they're going to have to annex. What's your, what are you doing about that?
We need something to cover ourselves.
And well, they told me they were going to annex. When? I don't know. You know, so that's what I'm just, from a practitioner, I always try to think, well, who's going to come after me for something that I'm signing on off or did? Yeah. This is a heavy lift. That's why it's here.
LAFCO involved, I'm sorry, was LAFCO involved in the water and sewer, adding water and sewer to that specific development?
I don't know. It
didn't go anywhere else but to that development.
Just to that, well, no, it went to there, and then there's the line that runs down Le Brut.
But it didn't go to the homes on
the west of
east of there.
East of, no, west of Nance. It didn't go to the east. And then we went, there's a line that runs down the middle of Nance, and it hits those four homes right there that is city property, that is city boundaries. And then they wanted the ones down on Brewer to the west, those wanted services, and some of them were denied because they were outside our boundaries. Brewer? Yeah, east Brewer, east of Nance, yeah. And so, I mean, there's, we can look at it different ways. It's just how. And at the end of the day,
I live in Sky Ranch, in the city.
But,
and it'd be a serious impact to the county.
It didn't, yeah.
Serious. Is there any way to establish some state of good repair for annexation? I'm thinking of like relinquishments with the state where you're not going to assume a property unless that. Investments and there's some good upkeep that's taking place before you assume that property. Is there any way we can put into this like considerations for municipal requirements before annexation?
You have to have ABC before you do it. Before, I mean, that would be great.
Just because some of those investments aren't being made on those properties, but they're receiving some of the benefits of a municipality. So how do you, I mean, I'm just thinking out loud
And just recently, we've also denied some services outside of our area because we're like, no, we're not going to do it. Well, we'll pay for it all. I don't care if you pay for it all. We're not going to do it. We're done. And so we didn't do it.
Problems created.
Murphy, I think Murphy Road was wanted services, and we said no. It got pulled off.
What was that?
640 Murphy, I think is what it was. They wanted services.
But what was the reason for denial?
Dennis pulled it off. Just pulled it off the agenda. We don't know why. Water and sewer.
Lions.
The line's right in front.
And you have so much capacity. Yeah. As a
we have the capacity. Development, yeah. We have the capacity. That's not the problem. It's just how far do we want to dig, dig this?
It's a long block. I call them a country block.
Yeah. So the country block, yes. So you know what, Tyler? To me,
right now my process is somebody comes in our office. Hey, we want an extension of service for water or sewer from Imperial.
Why are you people gonna pick it on me?
Well, because I am getting a lot from Imperial.
I'm just kidding.
So we say so. Before you put your application in, why don't you go get a letter from the city saying they're willing to provide the services? Because we don't want to go through all this work if the city says no. Then they bring it back. Then we say, okay. Now, before we approve it, I need an extension of service agreement between the parties and a resolution from the city that they're going to bill you and what the rate is, et cetera, et cetera. And then if I don't see anything on a specific property, then just...
Then you're saying no. Within 2 years, you need to annex.
That's in this policy. I think we need some window of somehow to prevent all these one-offs from just really in practice skirting the law.
If you don't have this policy now, which you don't, is there any way that the people that were granted that have a grandfather clause to continue the service?
Well, that's
I mean, it's being grandfathered right now.
Right. Yeah.
So, nothing we can do. We can't go up there and cut them.
Anything before 2001 is automatically by law. I could be in the policy. Any services that are currently connected are exempt from this
Yeah. That could be one fault at this date and time or whatever.
So you say from this point on,
yeah,
you have to sign an annex agreement or whatever.
But the problem with that is what got me thinking about it is say the whole subdivision and one, there's an empty lot that hasn't built a house yet, but all the subdivision for argument's sake has water and sewer. They're going to come and say, I want to build here. I need water and sewer. Sorry, man, you got to annex. Well, they're not, how are we going to annex this whole thing? You know, they're already got, I don't want to, I don't, that's, so, that's to me is an issue that.
So basically you would have to exempt them because.
That whole subdivision or something.
Yeah, you'd have to say, hey, look, you're in the subdivision. If you're outside of it, if it's new, this date now requires you to. So
the one we just did last, not this week, the one before the March 18th or whatever agenda, we had one that was pulled off. Because they were requesting services. They got pulled off the agenda. Nope.
They're getting individual and developers or?
Well, ours are coming individuals.
Yeah, individual. And usually a developer has a bigger scale, and that's a different conversation.
And what they're doing is like, well, John got it. Peggy got it. Well, David goes, well, I want it too.
Yeah, see, that's the issue I want to try to address in a policy, those kind of issues.
But I see.
Steve has a thought.
I see other properties that within our city boundaries that are going to be the same way. That, to me, I'm going to fight it, but at the end of the day, I'm going to win as a city.
So I don't know what other cities do, but I know that the gem of Imperial Valley, the best little city, Hobo, California.
Can I adjourn this meeting right now?
North of 9th Street, which is County, we have houses from time to time that want to connect to water, city water and sewer. They get tired of septic and they get tired of, you know, of those little systems. And I think we're still charging them double rates. And so that's kind of one of the hammers for them at some point in time. But one of the things we do is they have to sign an irrevocable consent to annexation when it's feasible. So they've already agreed on the front end. I would think from a lack of perspective, and I don't want to see staff having to do all that stuff. I think the policy is certainly well-meaning, well-intentioned. I think what we need to do is review those things and maybe require those of all cities, review those things on a biennial basis or something to determine whether or not it is feasible. And maybe the city's going to come in and say, well, back up a second. Cortese Knox, when it talks about annexation, there's a lot of things that says a city or an agency may annex under these conditions, may. One of the few where you must is if it's, you know, a landlocked parcel. But even then, I think if it's economically unfeasible for an agency to annex, I think that's what we need to know. And that way, I think we're doing our due diligence to, we're not ignoring it, but we're doing our due diligence and putting the burden on the agency to come back every couple of years, whatever it is, and say, yeah, we got all these places, we're ready to annex, or we got all these places and we can't annex for these reasons. Maybe that's the direction we should be thinking about.
I see.
Like I say, I don't know what other cities do in terms of those outside service connections. Is there
required? Well, I see the ponds.
Yeah, it hasn't been. I haven't asked that question in the sense that. When they're going to annex and type of thing.
Because
I haven't been asking that or what the plan is. I mean, because the SAP, in theory, it lays out the progress and timing of an annexation through.
Can we back it up to the enforcement side?
To which page?
Enforcement.
Right there.
Failure to comply with these terms may result in a limitation or pause on further service requests and formal review of the agency's service area plan and sphere of influence.
The thought there was any policy needs some teeth or what's right. The point? The hammer that we have is, well, your service area plan says you're going to annex and you're not doing this. So let's look at your service area plan again. Maybe we're taking that out of your spirit instance. So you really not have intent to. I don't know how much teeth it is, but it is a tooth.
To me, the way I read this, if I don't annex Ironwood Acres, you're going to pause any further service requests. Okay. Look, I don't have to be the bad guy to deny you the services and any formal review of the agent's service area plan and sphere of influence. I'm not going to do any of that. That's the way I'm reading it. I don't have to do anything because guess what? You're going to be the bad guy, or LAFCO is going to be the bad guy and say, well, the city is not is letting you, but LAFCO is not.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're the bad guy. Am I seeing it wrong?
Well, that's.
I mean, I'm.
My hope is not to be a bad guy. My
no,
hope is,
but
is to work with everybody.
No, correct. But
yeah,
I'm just I can't give you services because the policy states that I'm on pause.
Yeah.
Through LAFCO. So
gives you an out.
Absolutely. I'm like the blackjack dealer. I'm out. That's just me. I mean, I see a lot of twisted things in my mind. It's like I play Rubik's Cube all day and the colors don't match.
What's the supervisors? Any opinion on, again, one direction could be we don't need a policy. We'll just move forward as we're always doing. That is an option, but wouldn't be my recommendation. I'd like to get something and written, whatever that turns out to be.
And at the end of the day, if I may add that, we might not agree, but we might agree. At the end of the day, I can't look at this as necessarily for my city. I got to look at it, what's mm-hmm. better for the organization. Unfortunately, whether it's money lost or not, I got to put that aside and I got to take my city out of it.
The issue is that we have functioned as, you know, in a way up to this point, and now if we change it, you're going to say, oh, well, why did they change it? Look, we've always functioned like this, but now with growth and all the other issues. So it seems like there has to be an exemption for those that have already
services.
Set a date, you know, that anything going forward, the policy would apply, and projects that are currently, you know, in the works would be exempt.
Like that, and also I would like to address my example of one parcel left in a subdivision that's going to get.
That's just unrealistic.
Yeah.
It is.
But I talked to my predecessor about this and I said, hey, man, I about the, and he says, yeah, he says, his comment was, well, I didn't approve unless there was a plan for annexation. And I'm like, well, what's that mean? So, but we have a lot of extensions of services throughout the county and I want to just hand this to somebody and say, here's the commission's policy. And right there, whatever that looks like, there is a plan for annexation, whatever that could be. I don't know what, And if
definitely like the idea of letting it bake because.
Yeah. Yeah, no, we need, for sure. But is there a general consensus that a policy of needed or I don't want to spin wheels and bring it back in and.
I can't say today.
Because you need to see the policy. Right.
I need to think out the unintended consequences.
And the fairness
to those that have already developed. Yeah.
And I see this because I know the presentation, we got a lot of questions. Our discussions and different views of how we see things brings up other discussions and other questions. And so at the end of the day, I would definitely put a pause on it right now. Let us think, look at it a little bit more.
That is my recommendation. Yeah. Amended recommendation. Yeah. And so direction moving forward, revisit in April, I think after engaging with.
And maybe talking to Steve could probably talk to some attorneys or kind of kick around some ideas that other counties
bring back what the cities
just bring back some ideas. And, you know, we as a county, we've done some things without following through, and now you have to roll them back. That's never fun. You need to get out there and maybe do the, a public forum or something, and let these things get fleshed out. I don't know if you want to do a public forum, but.
That's not a popular item.
No,
and it's not that you need a public forum. It's a public forum is not going to, the public's not the one that's going to do this. It's a developer, and it's the city.
If you bring the developers in, and
developers are going to tell you no.
Well, yeah,
because they don't want it. Now you're going to put their feet to the fire and say, now you're going to do this. I'm going to tell you what they're going to say, because they have to pay for it.
Yeah. Well,
and with a new parcel that's ag or vacant, then that's, they can plan for that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But that's easy. And that wouldn't, in my opinion, that would require annexation if it's up against the boundary, and LAFCO should not approve it unless it's annexed while it's being, before it's developed.
Look, I mean, I think we take.
I would think the county wants to get away from maintaining septics and all that, and would like prefer annexation in that case, situations like that. I don't know. Yeah,
Mr. Salgado, any questions? Concerns?
Is it a long list, Tyler? Are you able to put together something that shows what we're looking at in terms of the impact, property wise, or?
Like what property specifically?
I mean, like what? How many are we looking at? Like, what kind of challenges is?
Oh, that currently have services?
Yeah.
Yeah, it might take some time. I'm not gonna say it's impossible. Yeah.
Imperial's the champion.
John, we'll still let you in. Maybe.
Hoville's trying to get on the map. We're trying to. You guys have done a good job. You really have done good. Take that away, but
so Ms. Price, any questions? Mr. Hawk?
I think it's good that we pause it and really consider and look at legal aspects of everything.
Too soon.
I mean, we could bring it up and see if there's new information.
Maybe just an update.
Yeah, I don't even think you need to put it on the agenda as an update.
Okay.
Do you plan on having a meeting with all of the city managers, or will it be one-on-one conversations?
I mentioned to one of the city managers that you guys have a monthly meeting amongst you all. I mean, I could attend that and whack it all out at once, or, you know, if you got any questions, we can talk one-on-one.
And they get to,
yeah, good idea. They still meet, I'm assuming, right, David?
Yep. That's a good venue.
So, any questions?
No, you know, I looked at the agenda first, and I thought it said extraterrestrial. I thought we were going to discuss aliens.
Nice.
Yeah, yeah, I know.
That's for April.
So, do we need a motion on this, or
direction?
Direction.
Just direction to bring it back.
Okay.
At a future date.
We don't need to vote on it, do we?
No.
All right. So we'll bring it back at a future date. Thank you. Thank you guys very much for the discussion and the opportunity to be able to go back and forth, because, you know, some of these items do.
Yeah.
Might not impact us today, but might impact us in the future.
So mm-hmm.
Definitely. With that, we'll move on to item B, the acceptance of the audited financial statements for the fiscal year ending June 30th, 2025.
Okay. Thank you, Chair. This item today is a reflection of our accountant Julie's work here. I'm pleased to present the results of the independent audit for the fiscal year June 30, 2025. It was conducted by Davis Farr. I'm going to keep this real brief and just focus on some highlights. First and foremost, and most importantly, the commission received an unmodified opinion.
Good.
This is the best possible result, meaning our financial statements are presented fairly and accurately in accordance with all accounting standards. Just some couple of brief financial highlights. Total net position stands at $1.369 million. We saw that was a net decrease of the net position from a year 2024 of $130,000, driven primarily by two factors. First, a 14% increase in salaries and benefits due to rising pension premiums, salary adjustments, and as well as the impact of having a full year of the executive officer's contract on the books. There was a one-time accounting reinstatement of $11,000. That's just a book transaction to comply with GASB 101, which changes how we report on uncompensated absences like vacation and sick leave, et cetera. General fund remains healthy, unassigned balance of $721,603. Beyond the numbers, the audit is a checkup on our internal health. The auditors identified no material weaknesses or significant deficiencies in our internal controls. There was no instance of noncompliance with laws or regulations. And finally, there was no disagreements with management or difficulties encountered during the audit process. So with that, I'm asking for acceptance of our audited financial statements for the fiscal year ending June 30, 2025.
Questions on this? Chance to review? I mean, we all should be pretty familiar with audits right now. It's our audit season. I know you can flip to certain pages and know what you're looking for when it comes down to it. If there's not any questions or any comments or concerns, I would definitely entertain a motion to accept the audited financial statements for fiscal year ending in June 30th, 2025.
I will move.
Thank you very much, Mr. Hawk.
Second.
A second from Mr. Salgado. Thank you very much. With that, do we need a, can we just do a regular vote or do we need to do a roll call?
We should do a roll call.
Roll call. Okay. Roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Amparano?
Yes.
Commissioner Llewellyn?
Yes.
Commissioner Hawk?
Yes.
Commissioner Price?
Yes.
Commissioner Salgado?
Yes.
That motion does pass, so thank you guys very much, and thank you for the exceptional work on this. With that, we'll move on to item C, the adoption of commissioner seating and terms policy and realignment of term expiration dates.
Thank you. Okay, so here we've done a deep dive in our records, and it's time to come in compliance with the CKH and professionalize how we track these dates to make sure we're staying legal. To be blunt, our current schedule is a mess. Over the years, we've drifted away from the statutory May default. The CKH says the first Monday of May is when all terms expire. To paraphrase, the result is our current structure actually puts us out of compliance, as I mentioned with the CKH. Right now, we have terms expiring in multiple months. Currently January, February, March, May, and even November. It's what I call a administrative limbo. The Board of Supervisors and City Councils historically do their reorganization in December and January in that time frame. But because our dates don't match that, or even if it was a May default, we would end up with members and sitting in a holdover status for months at a time. It's not just an administrative headache. It's as I said, a legal inconsistency that we need to fix to make sure we comply with the CKH. Next slide. The law is pretty straightforward. That's Government Code 56334. Says terms must be 4 years. It sets a default date in May, as I mentioned. And it specifically gives us, the commission, the power to pick a different date that works better for our local agencies. In this presentation and in my EO report, I am recommending January 1st to align with the county's and city's traditional committee assignments in December and January. Most importantly, the law does give us a quote, fix-it clause that says we can extend a term of office one time to achieve this uniformity. That is a legal tool that I am recommending using today to get everyone on the right track and in compliance. Thank you. If we think about historical memory, if we don't stagger these terms correctly, we could risk a situation where nearly the whole commission can turn over at once.
Like we did.
Yeah, and that's a brain drain, in my opinion, that we can't afford. By moving to a clean 2-year stagger, we ensure that the experienced voices are always at the table to mentor new members and keep our long-term projects on track. We want a stable core, not a revolving door situation. Next slide. The vacancy rule safeguard here. This is a big one for keeping us on track long-term. When a seat becomes vacant midterm, the law says that the new person only fills that unexpired portion of the term. You don't restart a new 4-year clock every time someone leaves.
if a seat is, as an example, a seat is scheduled to expire in 2028, and a new person comes in and takes over that, for that position in 26, the term still expires in 28 and needs to be reappointed. That way it keeps us on that staggered schedule from falling apart again, and it keeps us on track.
So that means, so I'm going to pause you here.
Okay.
So I, my term's not over till December of 28.
I thought it was different.
And so here I expire January 1st of 28.
Yeah. That, well, I,
so I'll be off before I term out.
Well, yes, that's that to get back on track. There, some folks, I don't think it was, I don't recall yours being in December, but I don't have that in front of me. But yes, and so through this proposal, some folks are going to be shorted.
I'm going
to get back to get back on track, and
I'll be shorted by 1 year.
I don't think it was a year. Do you have it?
So Alvarado came in May 6th of 2024.
Yeah, so that would be May of,
because there was a vacancy.
Yeah, but based on this, the historical, it would be no. May of 28 would be your term.
But we have
right
had
now, the way we're
right now.
Now. Yeah.
But if we go with this, I come off in January.
Yeah. So you're talking January, February, March, April, May, 5 months. Yeah, 5 months.
But my term, my elected term is not over till December.
Your city council seat. Yes, these are, but those are, that's a separate.
Okay.
Yeah. But if, and yes, that is true. Some folks, we're going to get shorted a few months here and there to try to get back on track to in compliance. What I did, and I'll tell you how I did this proposed uniform roster. What I did was just by order of who came on first and just went down the line to create two groups, group A and group B, to give that two-year window. So the math breaks down like this. And Group A would be the vacant seat of Escobar, Amparano, and Salgado. Those terms would expire in January 28. And then Group B, these were the later folks that came on, Hawk, Llewellyn, and all the alternates, they would expire in 2030. That would create that two-year gap, and it aligns perfectly, like I said, with the reorganization cycles of the historically from the county and the cities. Normally December, January in that area. And then it puts us on an appointment process predictable for everyone involved. The issue is we're out of compliance with the law.
Right.
So there needs to be some adjustment.
Some adjustment.
Yeah.
That's fine.
So, and that's how I came up, strictly by who, when you guys came on to create two separate groups amongst the seats.
We're leave this group.
You don't have
you
to leave.
You can get reappointed.
Yeah, you can get reappointed.
It's not a term limit.
It's the seat that's having the date time.
Yeah.
No, correct. I get reappointed, but for me, it would go back to the mayors to reappoint.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah,
right.
The mayors don't like
it. You make all the mayors mad?
Yeah, probably.
Thank you.
Anyway, that was, and then all, as it states there, all future appointments would stay on the standard four-year cycle.
Right.
And we wouldn't be a big mess.
You're applying the cycle to the seat, essentially, not to the elected official, because that's part of the problem, but part of the issue is that you all get reelected, hopefully, or not, and then it affects the time frame.
Yeah.
And so then in the past, what it seems like it's been happening is the seat's been getting filled, and then the person that comes in is like, oh, I got 4 years.
Yeah.
But it's like, that's not how it's supposed to be. So now it's going to be that you have the remaining time left on that seat that you're filling, so that we can fill it correctly in two more years.
And unfortunately,
for an agency that has 86 elected officials on the board that has served 2 year terms. So we're constantly adjusting and addressing these types of issues. Yes. I understand and I approve of it.
And somebody was always going to get regardless, the shortest straw, and I tried to make it at least. But
you're never going to make everybody happy, and hopefully everybody gets reelected and serves out their terms and gets reappointed and all that good stuff. But in reality, that never happens. And
Ryan,
so
Tyler's
trying to make the terms consistent.
Yeah.
I appreciate it.
Yeah. And so
my term.
Policy highlights in the policy in your packet, it basically puts this all in writing. Again, this is my recommendation. It codifies January 1st. You're allowed to pick any date, but it has to be consistent for every seat term. I just thought that fit well from when people get appointed through their governing bodies. And then it also requires a 60-day heads up before the terms, and requires me to notify the committee, selection committees, to notify, hey, this seat is coming up, so plan for it in the future. We're going to have to fill that. So my recommendation is to adopt the policy. Open for discussion.
Taylor, I have a question. Is the composition of our select committee outlined in CKH?
Yes.
Okay.
It says the mayor's. And there's a process. The supervisor board of supervisors clerk, is that the correct term? Runs that, and is supposed to schedule that with the mayors and take nominations and votes at a meeting. Yeah.
It's a lot of inconsistencies with that, especially down here when we have a rotational mayor system.
Yeah. So the, whoever's mayor's at the time this seat comes up,
that's who votes.
And of course, the board of supervisors appoints amongst themselves. The commission here appoints the public members, and so. Yeah.
Any questions on this?
No.
No. Glad there's consistency. I'll entertain a motion if anybody wants it.
So moved.
All right. We got a motion. Second. Roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Amparano?
Yes.
Commissioner Llewellyn?
Yes.
Commissioner Hawk?
Yes.
Commissioner Price?
Yes.
Commissioner Salgado?
Yes.
Awesome. Great, thank you. Motion passes. And with that, I don't know where I left my agenda. There it is. Commissioner announcements. With that, we'll start on all the way to my left with Mr. Salgado.
I will take a little bit of a personal privilege and invite you all to the SCAG General Assembly. I know I'm here in a public role, but please, if you are available, try to attend our General Assembly May 7th and 8th. A lot of great things going on in the region, and we try to highlight those as a part of that program. We have RENA coming up in a couple of years, so Regional Housing Needs Assessment is going to be coming hard and fast pretty soon, so I'm sure we'll have some information about that. And as the Metropolitan Planning Organization for the region, we're responsible for telling you all how to allocate your RENA housing numbers, so looking forward to that battle at our agency that takes place every 8 years. Come to the General Assembly 7th and 8th. You're all comped on registrations as elected officials, so you don't even have to pay. So good time. Palm Desert, JW Marriott, Desert Springs Resort. The Thursday, 7th and 8th is 7th is the main day of kind of content all day long. So even if you register and drive up for that day, you can come back in the evening, or you can stay over until the next day. Usually, I think this year we'll be covering our regional planning process on the Friday, since that'll be kind of ramping up. So Friday should be good too.
What's the date, David?
May 7th and 8th.
May 7th?
Yeah, Thursday, May 7th. Thursday, Friday. Yeah, takes the place of our regular board meeting in May.
They have a nice little Cinco de Mayo party.
Yeah, we have a good reception in the evening that everybody gets to kind of unwind at. Our annual awards lunch in the same day. ICTC will be receiving an award, so we'll recognize the commission. And then Friday's keynote and good content as well. Half day on Friday, so it's a good program.
Thank you. Ms. Price?
I did attend the LAFCO 101 webinar.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That was great.
You on there. Yeah.
There was quite a number of people on there, and it was very informational. I'm glad that you have that resource as a support for the commissioners. So, and I'll plan, I know they're going to have a future training, so I'll plan to attend that one as well.
Oh, I should announce that. Yeah, sorry.
When is that?
I don't remember.
April. We'll send out an email as a reminder for y'all.
That would be great.
That's 200, right?
Yeah, 201, yeah.
And then I get, you know, as an announcement for the county, we are having a special meeting this evening. It starts at 6 p.m. and it is in regards to the data center. So the developer will be there and other staff and other others to speak on behalf of the project and open for the community for public comment. So that's this evening.
So excited.
Thrilled. We're thrilled.
I'm glad you're thrilled, John.
No, John, look me in the eyes.
Oh, my gosh.
So that's it for me. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Hawk?
Oh, I wish I had gone to the LAFCO 101
me too.
Webinar, but I will. Is it okay to go to the 201?
It's available on the website, the recording, I think.
Is it?
Yeah. Well, I think we, yeah, I think it is now. So we'll send that link out too.
Yep. So anyway, so much to know. I mean, it's like, wow, kind of a little overload here, but anyway, other than that, I appreciate working with this staff and the group here, the commissioners, and I appreciate Tyler and being thorough with everything and making sure that we're on track. So I'm good. Thank you.
Well,
besides thanking the staff for their diligent work and having to put up with me and all of these different personalities from different communities and all of our staff. And so thank you all.
Awesome. Yeah, no, I did get attended that EO meeting. That was pretty good. But other than that, I know that our county, we got a lot of things going on. Mm-hmm. We got a lot of things going on. One thing we do got to remember, and because some of these things we might think it's personal, it's not personal. It's called business. And so I know that we look at these like the policy and all that. I look at it going, man, this is you're attacking me because that's where my impact is. And your impact might be different, but at the end of the day, this is all business, and that's what we got to look at. And so with that, I do appreciate all the work that staff puts into this. You know, our audits, Tyler, Lori, all this, you know, letting us know, because a lot of us are on a lot of boards, and we're looking, trying to shuffle through things. Lori, when you send me the reminder, hey, remember your 700 form, those little reminders, that's like, ooh, got it. So guess what I did yesterday? I did that. So I really appreciate everything you guys do. And at the end of the day, let's not lose sight why we're here. We're here to make sure we put something in place for our county, for our communities, and make sure that's a better future for everybody that lives here. So other than that, I really don't have anything. Good luck tonight. Good luck tonight.
We appreciate Julie also. Huh?
Right?
The league dinner's tonight too.
Oh, there is a league dinner tonight.
You at the league.
Yes. Yeah, so that's why I say good luck, because I'm going to be at the league dinner. I'm not going to be watching. I'm going to be Mr. Hawk.
Where is that tonight?
It'll be at the old eucalyptus. So I'll be there. I'll be really thinking about you guys. Make sure I send you guys all a
picture. I'm sure you will.
Yeah. Send you a picture of my, you know, bourbon on ice. But not. But
we're going to have tequila.
Go ahead. You can do that. But no, definitely, you guys, it's tough. We're all put in these positions to make tough decisions, and sometimes the decisions we want to make are not the best, or might not be the most popular ones, but we do the best we can for our community. So with that, thank you guys very much. Well, actually, any comments on this side? No, correct. Lori, any comments? Any comments? Okay. So with that, I will move on to our closed session item. So we'll prepare for closed session and move on to there. Thank you.